Welcome to Simcha Even Though and Parshas Re'eh. Today's topic is not for the faint-hearted. It's about death, grief, souls, and the next world. Okay, you have been warned. When my mother was 49 years old, the doctors told her she had 2 weeks to live, and they scheduled surgery for a month later. Since Hashem runs the world, and not doctors who clearly flunked math, my mother lived 10 precious months following her diagnosis, Baruch Hashem. I remember one day during a shift with my mother in the hospital, I heard an entire family down the hall suddenly wailing all together, louder and louder and louder. I think they were Greek or Italian. Their voices kept escalating until a social worker or a nurse quickly accompanied them to a family room, where they eventually calmed down. A few weeks later, my mother passed away. Our family had been softly singing Shuvi Nafshi Lenuchaychi. It was quiet and peaceful. The Chevra Kadisha were respectful and professional, and everyone spoke in low tones. As we followed the Chevra Kadisha and our mother down the hallway, we quietly thanked the nurses, and unless someone was actually watching things unfold from before, no one would have realized a thing. Was this scene rehearsed? Of course not. So why the stark difference? Because every aspect of Torah teaches control. We're imbued with it as children. We work on it all of our lives. In Parshas Re'eh, Perek Yudal, Pasuk Aleph, it says, "Bonim atem l'Hashem elokeichem, lo sisgodedu v'lo sasimu karcha b'neinechem l'meis." You are children of Hashem, your Hashem. You shall not gash yourselves or place a bald spot between your eyes, meaning to pluck the hair out near your forehead, because of the dead, meaning as a sign of mourning. This love, this negative commandment, was given to Klal Yisrael because in ancient times, the nations of the world used to grieve so intensely, they would literally cut their skin and remove the hair on part of their heads. This is considered, according to the Torah, a poorly directed reaction to loss. By forbidding this kind of cutting and pulling out hair, Hashem is saying, "You are my children, children who trust their father even when they don't understand." A yid is allowed to cry, should cry, but not excessively, not to the point of losing control and self-harming. Kliyakar offers a beautiful explanation. The other nations suffer as though they lost something that will never return. But we know Hashem is just bringing a holy neshama back to his treasury of souls in Shemayim. The person as we knew him may no longer be living, but his neshama has simply slipped into another realm. V'zoreach husham, and it's shining there. Its sun has set in this world, but it's now receiving its reward in the Olam HaNitzchi, in the world where it lives on forever. Ramban says such excessive expressions of mourning are usur, because it will look as though we believe the neshama is lost to us, as the Umas HaOlam believed. But it's only the earthly form which is no longer here. That's all. We may cry because we're sad to be separated from the person, and because we miss the person so much, but not with the kind of despair someone feels over losing something that's gone without a trace. When a person passes away, the neshama moves from one world to the next. And that's what we as Banim Lashem firmly believe. Rabbi Shalom Aaron Ehrenfeld suggests at Kriya, tearing our outer garment reminds us of this fact. We may not mend it, can never be repaired. Because the torn beged reminds us that yes, the outer garment of the person, the guf, is gone. But only the outer garment, its neshama, is alive and well in Gan Eden. Now hold on to your seats. Ready? The world of psychiatry and psychology recently came up with a brand new diagnosis for a person who grieves too much. It's called PGD, Prolonged Grief Disorder. The main symptom, intense and persistent grief, which interferes with daily life. Intense and persistent grief. The Torah first gives an avel 7 days to really mourn, surrounded by comforting family and friends. 30 days with a few degrees less of mourning. And for parents, at 12 months, the avelus is over. So the Torah is congruent with human nature, completely. After that, we continue to keep the memory of the person in our heart. No one's saying to forget the person existed. But there are no more outer signs of our mourning. We officially move forward in an emotionally healthy way as best as we can. Obviously, there's a huge, huge difference between a 95-year-old passing away and chas v'shalom, the tragedy of a young person losing a life, especially if it's a child, Rachman al-Islan. And it's okay for a person to cry privately into their pillow at night for as long as they need to and release whatever pain they continue to feel. The Torah places limits on avelus for us to give us the structure within which to grieve so that we mourn like Yidden and not allow our emotions to get out of control, like the Goyim who slashed their skin and pulled their hair out, literally. Okay, that was heavy. On a somewhat lighter note, lighter but not light, Rashi has a beautiful parish on the words lo sisgodedu. Don't scratch or slash your skin. You know why? because you're children of Hashem. Va'atem ru'uyin lios na'im. And you're worthy of looking nice. V'lo gedudim u'makurachim. And not scratched up and purposely bald. As a parent of several children with tattoos, I often ponder how the ways of the Goyim have seeped into our culture, meaning that once upon a time, even if a child was confused about life, tattoos were never part of it. Once upon a time, a tattoo was a sailor thing, a prisoner thing, a biker thing, right? Now popular celebrities are covered from head to toe, and people talk about how the body is a canvas and a form of creative expression. I learned a lot about life from this. Number one, the world says, your body belongs to you. Hashem says, Banim atem l'Hashem, your body belongs to me. Our bodies are on loan to us from Hashem, property of Hashem. For that reason, we are commanded to preserve our health as well. Number two, as a parent, if you also have this in your family, don't think, oh, what will be? My kid did this irreversible action. Woe unto us. Think instead, dafka because of this seemingly terrible action, good things will happen, because otherwise Hashem would not have put the impulse to do this in my child's head. Dafka because of this tattoo, he or she will be a perfect match for their bashert. Dafka because of these tattoos and piercings, when he or she is ready to come back, imagine how many people they'll bring along with them back to Teshuvah. Ah, and how am I so sure it was meant to happen? If it's against the Torah and it's mostly irreparable, how do I know it's supposed to happen? The answer? Because it happened. Because it happened. No matter what choices some of our children make, no matter how unfixable the mistakes seem, remember both phrases. Dafka because of these decisions, we will be led towards something Hashem does want. And how could it be this is what Hashem would want if it goes against his Torah? Because it happened. Now, lest you think I offered my kids prizes for each new tattoo. Of course not. But I believe Hashem has a plan, a great plan for each and every one of his children. We have to believe that with all of our hearts. I'd like to bring all these points together with a beautiful, meaningful story. 1956, a yeshiva in Yerushalayim. The boys had been learning really well, so the Rosh Yeshiva took them on a special trip to Miron, the whole yeshiva. They spent the day there, they davened, and they just had a nice day off together. On the way back from that trip to Miron, two of the open trucks that they had used for transportation crashed, and one went over a cliff, and 45 Bachurim were very badly injured, and three were nefter. And Eretz Yisrael was shaken to the core. One of the Bachurim, who had been a chavrusa with one of the Bachurim who had passed away, just could not make peace with what had happened, just couldn't accept it. And so much so that he found out how to do a Sheilas Chalom, and it worked. And his chaver came to him in a dream, dressed in white, shining with simcha, and he asked his friend, like, how? Why? Why did this happen? Why are you gone? You learned so beautifully. We davened all day. What happened? And his friend answered him, remember how our Rebbeim told us that if you learn a sefer b'kvias, if you learn one holy book consistently, or obviously if you learn the Torah of a tzaddik also, then in Olam Haba, you get to learn with that tzaddik. He said, remember I was Maver Sedra every week with Rashi? I'm now learning in Rashi's Mesiftas Harakia. That's literally like yeshiva in the sky.
The friend said, that's very beautiful, but it doesn't answer my question.
Why are you not with us now? How could that happen? And so then the friend told him more. He said, there was a gezeira on 2/3 of the inhabitants of Eretz Yisrael. And because of us, the three Bachurim that were neftar on that day, the gezeira was nullified. It's as if we died al Kodesh Hashem. And I did not suffer, and I went straight to Olam Haba. And then he ended and he said, when you wake up, you won't be sure that this dream is true. So I'm going to give you three signs so that you know that this dream happened. Number one, he told his friend, you're going to be a chassan in 30 days. Number two, your kala will be from South America. And number three, on the day of your simcha, a long lost relative will show up. So this bachur wakes up a little bit comforted. Not long after that, he gets read a shidduch, but the girl's a Yerushalmi. Should he agree to meet her? What about the dream? So he asked the shayla, and he was told to go out anyway. He was told, you don't push away a good shidduch because of a dream. So they go out a few times, and they get engaged. At the vart, his future father-in-law leans over and just casually mentions that, by the way, about 18 years ago, we moved here from Argentina. Where is that? South America.
And shortly after that, a man walks in, and his future father-in-law was, like, in shock. It was his long-lost brother, who he thought had been killed in the Holocaust. Don't forget, it's 1956. And then the Bachur realized that today was day number 30. So every single sign his friend had given him in the dream had come true, down to the last detail. So what do we see from this amazing story? When a neshama passes from this world, he's not gone, not at all. So while we're, of course, allowed to be sad for our loss, for our deep pain, we miss the person that we loved so much, the neshama has simply returned home and is at peace. Eretz Hashem, we hope to be reunited with every single one of our loved ones very, very soon. Thank you so much for listening, and a special thank you to my friends who have listened loyally each week and always taken the time to say something nice. Feedback, very much appreciated. I wish everyone a beautiful rest of the summer and an amazing year going forward.